welcome to this episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined again by Zach, our resident painting expert. And we are going to talk advanced painting techniques today. As I said to Zach off air, we're going to sort of in broad brush strokes. Yes, you can all groan. And
yeah, I groaned it for everyone then, so yeah.
We're gonna talk about some advanced stuff.
Right.
So, Zach, what's the easiest advanced technique to pick up?
I'd probably say blending, because blending it, well, I tend to do blending in a bit of a kind of cheaty kind of way, which is why I find it easier.
Okay.
So blending is a form of highlighting where you don't really see much of a transition between the highlights.
Okay.
The way that I tend to do that is I use a wet palette. So what that is you keep the paint on your palette as wet as possible and you work as quickly as possible. And in doing that, you can put on a load of highlights very, very quickly and change the color each time, just a small amount. And if you're working quick enough, you can actually blend it on the model as well, because the paint that's still on the model is still wet. So what I tend to do with that is I actually use old Magic the Gathering promo cards for my palettes so that I can throw them away. But I'm actually, I ran out of those recently, so I've gone to using old Blockbuster cards.
Okay.
So on that card, I then on one end of the card put the darkest colour, and on the other end of the card I put the lightest colour that I want to go to. And then I start moving my brush between those two colours, and you'll find that you then get a bit of a sort of area in between, which kind of graduates in colour from the darkest to the lightest. You can then pull
you're sort of making a gradient transition between the two colours on the card.
Yes. Yeah. And that then allows you to then pull from all the way along that, and then you can start moving, you know, if you want to go lighter, you can move in from the lighter side. If you make a mistake, you can bring it back the other way and move some paint in from the darker side and go back a step and put that on. I'm actually doing the motions with my hand right now for everyone at home. So that's a really nice, easy way to get some blending done nice and quickly. And I've actually started using a medium for that, a glaze medium, which is used for making washes. But if you use it in a very small amount, it will keep it wet on the palette for longer. So that you don't have to refresh your palette quite so often.
Okay. Yeah, I must admit, I've never heard of using Blockbuster cards.
Yeah.
as palettes. I've heard of, you know, using a wet palette before, but normally the ones that have been described to me are, you know, like a plastic tub with some wet sponge in it and then greaseproof paper, but the porous kind, because there are two kinds you can get, not the wax one, apparently.
Yeah.
On top of it, and that's what you keep your paint on.
You know, I've seen those available, and in the end, I just decided I'd try and work out a way of making my own. So I've actually, it's a similar principle. I'm just changing the paint rather than changing the palette. So the paint will take longer to dry, but then that also gives you the opportunity to blend it while on the model as well. So, okay. You know, once you've added the next layer, you can hopefully still blend it into the lower layer still.
Yeah. And have you tried two brush blending?
I've not tried two brush blending, no. It's something that I would be interested in trying out. I've actually set myself the mission of trying out at least one new way of painting on each of my Malifaux crews. So I'm currently painting Sonia Creed, and I'm doing OSL object source lighting on her because she's got the flaming blade and the lantern. So I thought I'd give those a go.
All right, so OSL is something that I'm pretty interested in at the moment.
Okay.
Because I've been working on an Alifo crew for taking to Adepticon.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've been using to differentiate the bases is a lot of them have, they either have sort of dockyard equipment, you know, barrels and crates and stuff,
yeah.
or candles and braziers, you know, with flames coming off. So there's going to be OSL coming off them. Cool. So I have a sort of a karate guy, and he's standing next to this brazier that's giving off flame, and I need to put some OSL on him, and frankly I'm scared.
Yeah.
Because I've done quite a good job of painting the guy as is,
yeah.
and then I'm going to go and put a completely different color on top of him.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
So have you got any tips? One that I had heard is varnish him first, because then it makes it easy to wash it off.
Okay. I've not actually varnished mine, because what I did with mine, because I was pretty scared as well, I've actually started painting it the other way. So I've started doing the OSL before painting the rest of the model.
Oh, right. Okay. That's interesting, because everything I've read says paint it first and then put the OSL on top.
Yes. That's what I sort of read. And then I thought, well, I'll just do it my way and I'll do what works. So one of the things that I've been doing is I've been moving the model a lot more up to my eye line than I do normally. So hold it in a way that, obviously object source lighting is all about the direction of the light, because we normally paint models in a very ambient light environment where light is coming from everywhere at once. Object source lighting is all about having very directional light coming from one area on the model. So what I've been having to do is I've been having to move the model up to my eye line and moving it round to check where is the light going to be falling from this object. And that sort of dictates then where I start painting. And start really quite sloppy. So I've been going with the darkest color, which I'm using a red color, and just layering, you know, stippling that on in the general area where the light is going to be hitting, and then moving through the oranges all the way up to a very bright yellow for the very severe highlights, because that's the other thing. Unlike normal highlighting, OSL highlighting tends to be quite stark, especially if you think of the light that a fire gives off. It's got very stark lines to it. And so if you're painting fire OSL, then it's going to have very severe lines that distinguish it from the other kind of light on the model. You need to kind of work out a whole new where the shadows are falling. Because normally, like I said, you know, we have that ambient light on a model.
Yep.
And the stuff that's further away from the center of the model, the bumps and ridges that are further away from the center of the model are lighter, and any bumps that are closer towards the center, any folds in the cloth, any dents in the armor and stuff like that, we tend to paint darker. OSL, it's kind of like that, but instead we're just working from a single point. So it's not to do with the center of the model and the furthest out of the model anymore. It's moving it away from wherever the light is coming from. And whatever's closest to that is going to be the brightest color you can think of. And whatever's further away is going to be the dullest. And some areas won't get it at all. So watch out for those folds in the cloth that are going to create a shadow behind them, because that's what really sells OSL, is the shadows and where they go. So make sure that, you know, you're holding it up to eye level and checking, actually, is there going to be light going here? Or have I just gone back to ambient highlighting again?
Okay, and I suppose OSL leads into something that you talked about last time you were on, which is non-metallic metal, because that's all about direction of light as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so this was something that I trialed it on my Justice crew, but I kind of chickened out, and I did the very brightest highlight with a metallic medium. So Lady Justice and the judge and all that, they're mostly greys all the way leading up to kind of a mithril silver kind of highlight on the very tips of their weapons. And that actually worked quite well. I was impressed with that. But then I thought, no, I'll do it properly for the next guys. And I just pulled up a load of pictures of non-metallic metal from the internet and just started trying to work out how it works, because it's very much to do with the light, but it's more to do with reflected light rather than you know, a light source, because that's the kind of look that you're trying to get. You're trying to get a reflection from the area around it. So so a lot of my my work with that with the Witchling Stalkers, and they've got very broad blades on them, which work very well with a kind of horizon line on it. So okay. You're kind of imagining the area around them, and at what point does it go from earth to sky in the reflection? And the earth part and below is obviously darker than the sky part and above. And the best way to kind of do that is to kind of, I drew the line on pretty much just with the paint, and then started shading downwards from that line to do the ground reflection, and then highlighting upwards from that line to do the sky. But with those, that was kind of very much looking at different pictures of what other people have done and trying those blends in the right place. Also for that, just never underestimate the, because, you know, it's got to be smooth as well in order to look good with non-metallic metal, because that's the whole point, is trying to get it to look smooth. The use that a couple of decent washes will do to bring your highlights together again, and right. Bring them back to a kind of more, to a closer color to each other. And actually made up my own washes, again, using glaze medium, but in a higher amount of glaze medium. And then I used the darkest gray that I'd used in my highlighting, and turned that into its own wash, and used that to bind all of the colours together again at the end.
Nice.
Doing non-metallic metal on things like guns and other small things like that is actually a lot easier than doing something big like a sword, where you're trying to get that big reflection. And it's a lot closer to just standard highlighting. And actually even closer to the kind of very... very severe line highlighting that you would sometimes see, you know, on Black Templars kind of thing, you know, just a very thin line. Because you're looking at, essentially a gun is just a collection of tubes. And if you look at a tube in light, then generally it's all very much of a similar color, and then a line of light on the apex. So that's very much... what it was with the guns. It's a lot easier. If I were recommending places to start with non-metallic metal, I'd recommend a crew which is mostly guns, and then start moving on to swords from there. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we were going to do freehand, but we're out of time. So we will have to do freehand another time.
We will.
I think perhaps what we'll do is we'll get some listener questions, and then we can do some more episodes where we, you know, answer listeners' questions.
Yeah, that's great. Obviously, like I'm saying, I'm learning how to do non-metallic metal at the moment, and I'm learning how to do OSL at the moment. So if anyone wants to know about something that I haven't tried yet, just give me a couple of weeks and I'll try it out and I'll come back with anything that I've learned. But, yeah.
Fantastic.
If anyone wants to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, they can do that as well.
They do that to me all the time.
Yeah.
So I've been Mike.
I've been Zach.
And we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.